Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Mr. Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Rajin R.A. I'm not even sure what that means, but welcome to you, brother. Welcome to Lamont Gates. Shout out to Lamont Gates. Real Social Talk on Blog Talk. I think it might be still on the air. Check out Lamont Gates' Facebook page for more information. Welcome, everybody, and thank you. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. The Ron Kelly Show.com. Got a lot going on. Got a lot going on. Who's Ocasia? Is that the oh, you're talking about, well, she's 29 years old. Lamont, shout out to Lamont Gates, was at talking about the young lady, the 29-year-old who's the youngest. And we're going to get to the midterms, by the way. Lamont Gates is referring to the young lady who won a seat, a congressional seat. She's the youngest person ever to win a congressional seat from and she's from Queens in the Bronx, I believe. Yeah, I guess not. You know, I mean, Lamont, apartments are pretty expensive in D.C. You know, especially downtown where all the historical buildings are downtown. In the Senate office building and likewise down there, Georgetown. Yeah, I'm sure she can. You know, she's not wealthy like the rest of them. Welcome to Pamela Tan. Well, okay, what's up, everybody? Welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show. We're here every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com. It's the Ron Kelly Show.com. And my cousin, Idris Elba, well, he's not really my cousin, but, you know, he was voted sexiest man of the year. Not the worst person to look like. But let me start with this. I love haters, you know. I love my haters. Some of you watch my program every week, can't stand me, you know. I love my haters, you know. And I get a lot of hate from this radio show. For some people in particular, you know, they get at me all kinds of ways, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, et cetera, email, which I get a lot of those. And, you know, some people like me, some hate me. But I love my haters because, you know, when you have a lot of haters, it lets you know that you're doing something that somebody else wants to do but can't, or who is jealous of what you're doing. So, you know, I don't mind people, you know, trying to get at me on Facebook and so many other things, because in order to even know who I am, you've had to heard my radio program or listen to me or talk to me with someone else about me, whatever the case may be. So, you know, if you have a lot of haters, you know, I enjoy my haters, you know. So those are the people out there who continue to hate on me, et cetera, I love it. Just continue to do it. Puts a smile on my face. See what I'm saying? Anyway, welcome, Mr. Ron Kelly Show. Heard here every Thursday on blogtalkradio.com. So let me start with this. I just want to, you know, just your thoughts and prayers, Ron Kelly Show here, myself personally, my thoughts and prayers with the folks who were relatives of the 12 people who died in Thousand Oaks, California. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about why the one common denominator isn't being discussed. There is one common denominator with these mass shootings that isn't being discussed. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Also, you know, the midterms are over. The Democrats have gained control of the House. And will things get better? Will they get worse? Who won? Who lost? I'll examine that in just a few minutes as well. It's a couple of minutes past the hour. And also, the prison industrial complex. You know, this is something I never really talked about on my program. But, you know, it, like everybody else, when something touches you personally, shout out to my nephew, Charles W. Tuner III, my nephew. Shout out to him. So when something affects you personally, yeah, I think that's universal. When something affects you personally, that's when we want to get involved in this. And there was something that I noticed about the prison industrial complex that hits home for me. And I'm going to talk about that also as well within this hour. So welcome, everybody. Pull up a chair. Get yourself something to drink. Hopefully not alcoholic. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, so we had the shooting. There been 307 mass shootings so far in the United States of America. 307. Now, I don't remember hearing news about, I guess, what it is that if a shooting, you know, if there's a shooting with more than one person, I guess that's considered mass. So I haven't heard about 307 shootings so far this year. The ones we hear about are the ones with multiple victims, like this one that we just happened in Thousand Oaks, California, with 12 people, or the synagogue last week in Pittsburgh was 11 people. You know, we didn't hear too much about the two folks that got killed in Kroger, I guess because it really didn't qualify, there were only two people. But it seems like the more people are killed, the more coverage the event gets. It's actually not even about black and white. And I've been accused of being a race baiter and all of this stuff. And I'm not a race baiter. I'm not a race hater. People who say that just don't know what the hell they're talking about. But anyway, so if there's been 307 mass shootings this year. And once again, peace be upon the folks who passed away, who were killed when this man... walked into the Borderline Bar and Grill in the Thousand Oaks, California yesterday and threw smoke bombs. So this is something that he was planning. This is something that was being planned. So he planned, he walks in, he throws a couple smoke bombs to get people's attention, and then he opens up and starts shooting. And, you know, it's almost to the point now where you can't even, I like to go out and be places, you go to the mall or whatever, and you know, it's getting to the point where you just really can't go anywhere. You know, it's getting to the point where you can't go anywhere. And, you know, again, it's not about race or anything like that, but the one common denominator for these shootings is they're all done by white men. That's the one common denominator. 99% of these shootings are done by angry white men. And so that's the common denominator. So it's not so much about the men are white, but we have to figure out, address it. And see, this is something that nobody's talking about. Fox News, MSNBC, nobody is talking about nobody is talking about this. Nobody is talking about the common denominator, which is the most, 99% of these men are white. Some young, some middle-aged. And you can look back on, you know, some of the more serious mass shootings that took place this year. And the lion's share of them, I should have got something to drink. Excuse me. The lion's share of these shootings were committed by white men. And nobody's talking about this because this is a problem. This is a problem. And President... the president says he wants to fly the flags at half staff. Well, he probably needs to fly them at half staff for the rest of this year. Excuse me, because there's going to be another one. And it's getting so that it's just becoming routine. Because before we could even get over the synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh where 11 people were killed, here we go with someone else. Just not even a week later. Here comes someone else, kills 12 people, including himself, and a sheriff's deputy who, valiant sheriff's deputy who raced into the place and was killed by this psychopath. Shout out to Sharon Allen Chambers. So, yeah, so we have these mass killings, and most of them, you know, just about all of them are being committed by white people. Now, you know, it's not about the race. It's about the common denominator. The common denominator is that it's white people. Now, it could have been black people. Shout out to Lamont Casey, says it was a parent veteran with mental illness. Well, who knows? I mean, do we know that for sure? I mean, was he being treated? You know, why aren't these? And if he was a veteran, Lamont Gates, why are we allowing these people to run roam the streets? No, see, because you know this is something that has to be addressed, because gun control is not going to solve this problem. Because you can get a gun like you can get a pack of cigarettes. Gun control is not going to solve the problem. No. The people who are perpetrating these heinous acts are folks who may have mental problems, but maybe they're not crazy enough to you know, be running down the street with their panties over their head or whatever. You know, these are people who are not outwardly crazy or, you know. But then you have some who were not, who appeared to be normal and who committed these crimes. But the majority of them were white people. And see, because of that, because I mentioned the fact that the people were white, yeah, they're going to call me a race baiter and all of this stuff, you know. But the fact of the matter is that most of the people were white. So is this a white problem? Hey, Sharon. Shout out to Sharon Allen Chambers, my sister from way back when. So is this a white person problem, Lamont Gates, or is this a mental health problem? So is the common denominator that all the people have mental health issues, or is the common denominator that they're all white? And which one, or is it they're white people with mental issues? Which one is it, you know, in your estimation, Lamont? Which one is it? And it's something that that people are not talking about. Maybe, you know, and they're not talking about because they're white. You know, not all these people have been in the military either. You know, there are some of these mass killers who haven't been in the military. And then you have the folks who try to compare this to Chicago. You know, oh, look at who's getting shot in Chicago. Right. Shout out to my nephew, Charles W. Turner III, who says that the thing is, if black people did these acts, we'd be talking capital punishment. Right. Did you see what happened with the Hispanic man who shot the white girl in San Francisco? They were, oh man, they were ready to chop his head off. But see, but nobody's talking about this because it's a white thing. Because they are white men. And again, this isn't a black and white show. I'm trying to be against black white people. More white people listen to the show than black people, actually, from the likes and the other information that I get from Blog Talk Radio. And so and this is why it's not being talked about. Nobody's saying anything. But if this is a black person or a Hispanic person, it would be, you know, it would be anarchy in America. They'd be locking us all up like they did the Japanese when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor in 1947. So here we have a situation where most of the people who commit these crimes are white, and no one is talking about it because the people are white. And as my nephew said, if they were black people, they'd be anarchy. They'd be locking us up. They'd be rounding us up and putting us in internment camps like they did the Japanese years ago after they bombed Pearl Harbor. So nobody's talking about this. And see, and then the assertion that you can compare this with Chicago, you know, and it's mostly white people that say. I mean, I know there's one ignorant Negro, well, I don't want to call him ignorant, but one disillusioned Negro that I know who regularly and routinely compares this with Chicago, black on black crime or black crime in black neighborhoods. And it's like apples and oranges. You can't compare one from the other. You can't compare. It's like apples and oranges. Because you have, as I said jokingly, and I know it's not, any loss of life is tragic, no matter what the circumstances are. But like I would say to people, black people who shoot black people who shoot other black people know who they're shooting at. You know, it doesn't. I don't advocate black crime or black people being killed, but there's no comparison between someone who walks into a room full of people who he does not know and opens fire compared to drug dealers battling with each other or or gang members battling with each other. There's no comparing the two. See, that's the weak excuse that folks use when you pin them in a corner and they have no way out. So they're like, you know, when you pin somebody in a corner, they got to fight their way out. So when you pin someone in a corner with the facts that white folks are the ones who commit these crimes on an overwhelming percentage. Oh, what about Chicago? There's no comparison. Because in Chicago, you have people who are criminals who are fighting each other, drug dealers who are fighting for territory, gang members who are fighting for territory. And this is how these people get killed in Chicago, in New York, St. Louis, Gary, Indiana, Manhattan, L.A., where all of these things take place. So there's no comparing mass shootings with Chicago and shootings in Chicago and black neighborhoods. So I wonder, you know, 307 mass shootings so far this year. 300. I mean, can you imagine that? 307. This thing that happened the other night, 13 people, including the gunman and a deputy sheriff, are dead. So we've had 307 mass shootings this year, and there's been 307 mass shootings in the 312 days this year has been in existence. So I guess you can say there were 5 days out of the whole entire year, weekends included, where no mass shooting took place. $11,000 folks every year are killed in the United States by firearms. 11,000. I mean, it's unbelievable amount of people who get killed. Unbelievable amount of people. You see, but when the people, when two and three people, four people, it's not funny, but those, when three or four people get killed, it doesn't make the news. Shout out to Susan Kirkland. Shout out to my boy Rock, even though he's not here. And so, you know, it's incredible. A lot of these shootings, when there's two and three people get killed, it doesn't make the news. When the two black folks who got killed in the Kroger's supermarket in Tennessee, I believe it was, when they were slain and shot down by a white man who tried to get into a church first. It's a good thing that the security guard at the church was paying attention. They locked the church door so the man couldn't get in. But, you know, it's something that needs to be looked at, you know. See, because white folks don't want to look at this because it's white folks doing it. And a lot of times black folks don't want to look at black-on-black crime because black folks are doing it. So sometimes we get this willful blindness and we turn the other cheek or we look the other way when we are the perpetrators of a certain criminal act, because we don't want to face the fact that it's us and we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to deal with the hood, with the seriousness of the hood. You can't walk in the hood at night. And you can't really party in the hood at night. Somebody might come in there trying to look for somebody else and boom, you're gone. Or a fight may break out or some other nonsense. So a lot of us get willful blindness. White folks get willful blindness because it's them that's perpetrating these mass murders, and they just don't. You know, it's better just to sweep it under the rug. Let's fly the flags at half staff. Let's, you know, don't talk about it though, because it's us. So if you don't talk about it, it'll go away. No, it's not going to go away. 308 is coming. So imagine that only 5 days out of this whole entire year, nobody was shot. There was no mass shooting. Only 5 days out of this year. So 307 mass shootings in 312 days. That's just unbelievable. Mickey and I want to leave out your door. So, you know, we talk about Obamacare and we talk about physical health, but shout out to Lamont Gates who says that was a hate crime. Yes, the two African-American folks who were killed in the Kroger's was definitely a hate crime. Now, you can't say this is a hate crime unless he just hated college kids, because those were the people who were in that bar that night. So you can't say if this is a hate crime or not. It was a white man killing other white folks. So you can't even really quantify this as a hate crime. But the Kroger situation was a hate crime, and the folks who are investigating it said it was a possible hate crime. So a white man tries to break into a black church, can't get in, goes to a supermarket, finds the first two black people he sees and murders them, and it's not a hate crime. Oh, okay. Maybe I'm stupid. Okay, we'll take a break, and we'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Tim Cameron and everybody else who's watching and listening to the program. Appreciate you all for taking in my nonsense every, well, it's not really nonsense, but every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. It's me, you, and the rest of the world. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, so I talked a little bit about the mass shootings. And, you know, again, it's I wouldn't say it's a white problem per se, but more white folks are involved in these shootings than anybody else. But we don't want to talk about it. Just like black folks don't want to talk about the crimes that take place in East Orange and in Newark and Elizabeth and other St. Louis and other places across the United States of America, where Gary, Indiana, and some of the other places, where Kansas City, where you can't, Phoenix of all places, Utah, where you can't go through the black neighborhood because you're afraid for your life. And so black folks don't want to talk about black on black. Well, I don't know about this black on black crime nonsense, but black folks don't want to talk about hood violence. Because, because we know there's nothing we can do about it. Just like white folks know that there's nothing they can do about their people running up in Woolworths and there's no more Woolworths, running up in malls and theaters and bars and killing people. There's nothing they can do about it. Or shooting down on poor folks who are outside attending the concert in Las Vegas. So there's nothing that anybody can, and that's why I didn't want to talk about it, because it's them. And they know there's nothing they can do about it. All right, it's about 25 minutes past the hour, everybody, and it's me on the Ron Kelly Show. You know, I'm planning on doing a beware, be ready. I'll post it when Bernard Williams and I put it together. I'll be doing a live broadcast from Bernard Williams' business. It's called Media Play. It's located in Clifton, New Jersey, on Lakeview Avenue. And I'll give you more information about that as we move along. Now, probably next week. I believe next week we'll be doing a live broadcast from Media Plate. It's with my boy Bernard Williams. His business where you can rent space. You can rent workspace. And there's a lot of other things that he offers. Technical assistance, videos, photography, and all kinds of stuff. So you can go to his Facebook page. Go to Anton Kendall Williams, who is his brother, who bigs it up more than he does. But anyway, you can go to either one of their Facebook pages. You can look into it. And we'll be doing once we get it set up, we'll be doing a live broadcast from Media Plate and on Lakeview Avenue in Clifton, New Jersey. And if you want the Ron Kelly Show to big up your business, depending on what your business is, get at me, theronkellyshow@gmail.com. That's Ron Kelly Show. See you at Ron Kelly Show. It's easy to read that. RonKellyShow@gmail.com. You know, I have a friend that I've been searching for. Couldn't find him on Facebook because he's been impressive. A good friend of mine who I grew up with. My man's in there. My man, my homie, my brother. You know, who, shout out to Danny Newark, who's my dude. For real. And I was searching for him, and I finally got in touch with his brother, and As a matter of fact, a friend of mine told me about what had happened with him. And he was, as it turned out, at the end of the day, he's in prison for life because he allegedly killed somebody. And I want to talk a little bit about the prison industrial complex for a second, because, yeah, and again, sometimes we don't bother with things until they affect us. And yeah, now this is affecting me, because I talked to him finally, and I was so heartbroken. My homeboy was in prison for life, may never get out, ever. And, you know, I shout out to Gil Maestow Jr., who's out. It's my buddy Gil, Gilly, and Aaron, and his son, who they're probably there at Madison Square Garden. Okay. All right. Good for you, Gil. I'm not there. Shout out to Gil and his son, Aaron. He's one of the smartest kids I know. Anyway, so I talked to him, and it broke my heart that my homeboy was in prison for life. And I mean, it's a possibility he may get out. I mean, life doesn't necessarily mean life all the time. They do let people out. Good behavior. You know, I mean, he's been in prison for 20 years. And so I talked to him and I asked him, did you want me to put some money in your commissary? I mean, I asked him if there was anything I could do. And the first thing he said was, can you put some money in my commissary, which I did. But, you know, but I found out that I had to pay $6.95 to do it. You know, so for folks who most of who don't have any money to begin with have to pay to put money in someone's commissary. And I you know, and there are businesses that are created through prison labor. Right here in the state of New Jersey, they sell furniture. Do prisoners make furniture? They make $2 a day or something like that, $2 a week, and the brothers make it furnished. Now, yes, now, okay, the good news is they have something to do all day, you know. But the money, you know, they should be making at least minimum wage. The money should be put away for them. But the argument is that it takes, shout out to Anita Walker, the argument is that it takes that somebody has to handle the business of the prisoners. So they charge us what they call a small fee because they have to handle this business. I mean, it costs money to run a website and handle the business of the money going into the right mailbox and all of that type of stuff. No. So there are some charges that are, you know, that are like that are, you know, that you can agree on. There are some charges. And then there's some of them are just ridiculous. You know, and there's a lot of brothers in jail who are working and building furniture, office furniture, stuff like that. They're not getting paid for it. So the easy answer is don't go to jail. That's what most people would say, folks who run prisons and who work inside them. Would say, just don't go to jail, which worked for me because I've never been in prison. But, you know, a lot of money is being made off of prison labor, farms, and all kinds of stuff that's going on. And I just think that the prisoners should get a little bit more. Because a lot of times you've been in jail for so many years, you get out, they give you $25, and you hit the street. So, and that's a big reason for recidivism, where men who get out of jail and don't have really anything, a pot to pee in or a window to throw out, a lot of them resort back to what they know best, and they wind up back in prison. They're not given a fair chance. So the folks in Florida voted, while they were not voting for Andrew Gillum, who lost, they were voting for, there was a Voting Rights Act there was an act in the, I'm like tongue-tied today. There was a resolution that was voted on that would make it legal for ex-cons vote, because in Florida, ex-cons couldn't vote. You're talking about 1.4 million people who could not vote, who could have helped Andrew Gillum. But anyway, they passed the law where felons could vote in the elections again in Florida. Now, I don't know about anywhere else, but they're doing it in Florida, which is great. You know, and shout out to my boy Abdul Muhammad, who was on the show a couple weeks ago and who works in prison reentry. So we need, you know, again, sometimes we don't see things until they happen to us. And, you know, I was really struck by my boy who's in prison, and he's going to be there long. He's been there 20 years already. Shout out to my boy Danny Newark. Keep the faith, my brother. And, yeah, I think that more should be done, at least to give him a running start when they get out. Because a lot of them get out with nothing. They wind up going back to, they can't get a job because nobody wants to hire him, anybody with a record. And they wind up resorting back to what they know. Now, whose fault is it? It's nobody's. It's not the society's fault. But it is society is should do a little bit more to help these people when they get out, no matter what color they are, black, white, green, purple. Shout out to Michael Mazak, whatever color they are. When men get out of prison, men and women get out of prison, they should be helped a little bit more than $25 on a bus ticket. They should, especially those who work in these prisons from who have a regular job from 9 to 5, like me and you, and get paid $2 a day or whatever it is that they pay them. They should be paid a little bit more. If you don't want to give them the money, put it to the side. Still have something when they get out. So I talked a little bit about the, for those of you just joining me, I talked a little bit about the mass killings, mass murders that take place. One that took place yesterday, 11 people, 12 people, and the gunman who allegedly killed himself. Took place yesterday in Thousand Oaks, California. And it's becoming an irregular occurrence now. Every time it rained and there was a mass killing. I mean, it's becoming so commonplace in American society that it's really, really a dangerous thing that people are becoming, you know, people are getting apathy for mass killings. How many people got killed? 6? Oh, that wasn't that many. You know, and this is where it's headed because it happens so often. As I said earlier in the program, there's been 312 days that have passed in this year, 2018, and there's been 307 mass killings. Now, the reason why we haven't heard about all of them is because killings of 2 or more is considered mass. We only hear about the ones where it's 10, 12, 15, 50. Those are the ones we hear about. But the small ones, 2 to 3 people, like the 2 folks in the Kroger supermarket, we barely even heard about that because it was only 2 people. Which is one, you know, I don't see it. One should be more important than the other, but we should have heard something more than that. The shooting in Charlotte, North Carolina, Dylan Roof. Who has been convicted and is now on death row, who shouldn't be on death row, he should be dead already. And that's another one, is 9 people that died. We didn't, you know, I think they bigged up the fact that it was the church Martin Luther King once preached in more than anything else. But anyway, so yes, there is a problem, and it's white folks who are committing these crimes. Now, there's people on Facebook who are going to call me the race hater, the race baiter, and all those other things that they call me. You know, but the fact of the matter is that these crimes, shout out to Bunny McKnight, these crimes are committed by white folks more than anybody else. And as I asked earlier, and Lamont Gates responded when I said, is it a white problem or is it a mental health problem? Because black folks don't commit these kind of crimes. And I'm not saying we're better than a white man or anything like that, but black folks don't commit these kind of crimes. Black folks don't, look, like I said, black people shoot other black people that they know. They know who they're shooting at. Yeah, some people do get caught in the crossfire, and I don't mean to sound like that's, you know, it's okay. But you know, you can't compare folks who are fighting for turf. You can't compare that to somebody who just walks into a bar and kills 12 innocent people. There's no quantifying that. So we had the midterms, just took place 2 days ago, Tuesday. And as I predicted, these Congress went back to the Democrats and the Republicans held on to the Senate, and I thought that the Republicans would lose a couple seats, which they did now, you know. And that was like the Super Bowl for me. for somebody who follows politics. So I know a lot of y'all don't follow politics. A lot of people are like, oh, well, so what? I was in a barbershop last Saturday, and a couple of brothers were in there. You know, the barbershop is like the country club of the hood, you know. Because black men we don't have the luxury of going to the country club on Saturdays and, you know, sipping martinis with judges and doctors. So our country club is the barbershop. The barbershop is where black men get to exchange ideas and talk and kick the bobo and whatnot. So I was in there Saturday, and the brother was saying, oh, man, I don't get involved with politics, yada, yada, yada. I see, that's a problem. That's a problem. You should get involved with politics. Why not? Like I said, like I always say, we have to learn how to play the game. Don't listen to Michelle Obama saying, they go low, we go high. No, they go low, you go lower. Sometimes you got to get your hands dirty to get what you want. I don't mean lower your standards, lower your, you know, who you are or anything like that, but sometimes you got to get dirty. Sometimes you got to get your hands dirty, especially in politics. So we had the midterms, and things are going to get excessively worse now because you have the Democrats who are plotting their revenge of the nightmare that has been for them for the last 2 years since 2014, I believe it was, since Obama lost. Obama caused them all to lose. So now the Democrats are back, and they're like a new ex-wife trying to get alimony. They're looking for revenge. So it's going to be a lot worse, everybody. So I know folks were happy. I mean, for me, the good news is the balance. There's now a balance of power between the Republicans and the Democrats. Because at one time, you had all three branches of government being controlled by one party, which isn't good. So now we have the legislative branch split. Because you have the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. Judicial branch being Supreme Court, and blah, blah, blah. The legislative branch is the Senate and the Congress, and the executive branch is the President, White House. So there's a balance of power now. So it's not all about the Republicans anymore. But it's going to be even worse, and we're going to be worse off because there's going to be so much gridlock. It's going to be the worst traffic jam you've ever seen in your life, because now the Democrats are going to want to get back to Republicans for making them look like fools and humiliating them, especially last year of Obama's presidency when they held back Obama's Supreme Court pick for 14 months. 14 months. They wouldn't let the man, they wouldn't see him. Now, guess who's coming to dinner? So it's going to be, you know, issues. So we had states, so we have Stacey Abrams, who was running for, would have been the first black woman governor in American history, who is fighting with Brian Kemp, who was the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State controls the voting apparatus in most states. Secretary of State handles it. So today, Brian Kemp resigned because he's so sure that he's going to be the governor. He's already claimed victory. Stacey Abrams is not giving up yet. On the other hand, Andrew Gillum down in Florida has given up because he has lost. And it was a good fight. It was a good, you know, he put up a good fight. But shout out to Stephanie Freitas. But he lost. Put up a good fight, but he lost. So now, you see, you know, I can appreciate politics. You know, I watch politics. I watch political TV shows and stuff like that. I'm probably the only person I know who does. And I watch these things. And, you know, it is easy to give up hope when you see what's going on. You know, locally especially. You got some people with 5 or 6 jobs. You know, how can you have 5 jobs? Are you showing up to all of them? And, you know, I've been in campaigns. I've been in the inner circle in campaigns. And I see how they operate. I see how they run. And it's not the people who are running for stuff are not always forthcoming. And, there's not a candidate that I've helped where they didn't have a handicap that wasn't mentioned. You know what I mean? And, you know, you got to embrace the party in order to get elected, especially locally. Because what happened with Speziale. Speziale stepped down, boo, they grabbed somebody else. Shout out to Sheriff Burdick, who is capable, competent, was a lieutenant in the Clemson Police Department. But they could have picked anybody and they would want, basically. And no disrespect to Sheriff Burdick, but that's how party politics work. You're putting anybody in there. And you know, because people vote party. They don't necessarily vote for the person. They vote for the party. So if you're a Democrat, if you're a loyal Democrat, you're going to vote no matter who they put up there. So this is what happens. So that's why I'm not really a fan of politics. I mean, I'm fascinated by it. And, you know, I do talk about it because I think it needs to be talked about. I don't think there's enough of us that are talking about it besides whining and complaining about stuff. But, you know, because I'm looking for solutions. So, yeah, so it's, oh boy, it's 16 minutes before the hour. I'll take a quickie and come, quick break, I should say. Come right back with more of this program. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this. Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show. The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
That's right. Don't get it twisted. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. Welcome back. 15 minutes before the hour. Boy, the hour just went fast. Either I didn't know what I was talking about or it just went fast. Anyway, shout out to everybody who chimed in, who stayed, who left, whatever the case may be. Welcome and thank you for partaking of this program every Thursday at 7 p.m. It's the Ron Kelly Show. So, yes. So we've got these issues, you know, I just don't understand how, shout out to my peoples from the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, where yours truly graduated from, Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Yes, I went to school for this stuff, but it's not about going to school, you know, it's about having a personality. Shout out to my nephew, Charles Turner, still here. That's right. Down south. Down in, where are they? Ladder. I believe they're in Ladder. My niece and my grandnieces and all the folks down there, my sisters in Maxton, all down North Carolina, all safe and sound after the hurricane blew through there and almost took everybody with it. So thank God they're all safe. So, you know, there's so much work to do. You know, there's so much work to do in the black community. There's so much work to be done. So much work to be done. And I was talking to a lady in the barbershop. A lady comes in the barbershop and sells oil. I don't like oil. I don't wear oil because I don't like the way it smells. And I don't like the way it feels. It's slimy. But I'm talking to a lady in the barbershop. She comes in there, like I said, she sells oils and stuff. And we're having a conversation. She's telling me, you know, see, when black folks get together and start talking, we try to tell each other, it's been my experience that when black folks get together and start talking, they try to convince each other who's right and who's wrong. Somebody's trying to be right. And, you know, and when people are trying to be right, you lose the message. Because she's telling me, you know, I'm trying to tell her, I'm trying to explain to her my position. And she's trying to tell me I need to read more. And I'm not trying to tell her what to do. I'm not trying to tell her how to feel. I was just trying to tell her what my position was. And she constantly was telling me, man, you need to read, you need to read, you need to read. I mean, why do I need to read? I don't have to. See, I don't have to think like you think. And that's what happens when we talk to each other in the black community. We try to get the other person to think the way we think, talk the way we talk, do what we do. It's absurd. And see, this is why we have so many problems in black community, because we don't communicate with each other effectively, and we try to convince each other that the other person, like I said, she was trying to tell me that I was wrong. Basically, I need to read more. She started talking about Malcolm X. And stuff. I mean, I was a little kid back then. I remember none of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? A baby. I don't remember any of that stuff. So yeah, and we talk about, you know, and I hear people talk about the old days. Oh, let's go, you know, the old days when mothers, when everybody was your mother and stuff like that. We're not going back to that. We're not going back to the days when everybody was your mother. We're not going back to that. We're not going back to the days where the mother sat in the window, put the pillow on the window so it wouldn't hurt their arms, and they would sit in the window and watch us play kickball and stuff. Those days are gone. It's over with. Now it's video games and Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you know, all of this stuff. We're never going to go back to those good old days. Never. Never. You're never going to have a car with wind-up windows unless you go buy an old car with wind-up windows. They're not going to make a new car with wind-up windows. You know. So you need to stop looking back. I mean, yeah, it's nice to look back and wax nostalgic and, oh, yeah, it was a good time. Sure it was. It was a good time. Remember when I was a little kid, it was a good time. They had bullies and all the stuff they have now. They just didn't have all the distractions, like the video games and Twitter and Instagram and all this stuff they have now. So we can't go back to those days because we have so much more now than we had back then. So we can't go back to those days. Those days are over. You know, you can watch Crooklyn or one of Spike Lee's movies and kind of, you know, I go back to Jersey City where I grew up, Jersey City. Shout out Jersey City in the house. I go back to Jersey City and I'll go down the block that I used to live on Storms Avenue. Storms Avenue between Fairmont and Monticello. Was that Fairmont? Yeah, it was actually. Yeah, Storms Avenue between Fairmont and Monticello where I grew up at years ago. And I still go back there. I go back. I don't see anybody else there besides people who still live there. But I go back there. And that's how I get my memory thing on. But I can't go back to that. I can't go back to when I was 12, 13, 14, 15. I can't go back to that. And life is never going to be as good as it was back then. It's not. So, you know, you got to start thinking, what are we going to do in 2018? Not what we was going to do in 1988. Because that time is gone. The time is gone. So we need to start thinking about what we're going to do for 2018. Anyway, it's about chomping big as I'm trying to get out of here. It's about 9 minutes and 45 seconds left of the program. Thank you, everybody, for joining me right here on the Ron Kelly Show. What was I going to talk about? Yeah, I talked about Trump. Man, again, with the midterms and Trump. I mean, what can you say? I'm just trumped out. I can't really, you know. I'm just trumped out. I don't know what to say about it. So I can't even really, you know, I can't even really say anything about Trump anymore. I'm just totally trumped out because, you know, just when you think you've heard everything, just when you think you've seen everything, he does something else. And I'm like, you know, I just can't take it. I mean, you just give me the worst headache. I can't take it. I can't take it. So hopefully, you know, 2 years, we got two more years to put up with this nonsense. Hopefully in 2 years, maybe the Democrats I'm not surprised that they won, but I'm still wondering like how they won because they haven't really done anything in years. And they gained 30 seats the other night, 30 seats. I didn't think it was going to be that much. But the funny thing about it is that the same people who voted for the Democrat for Congress voted for a Republican for the Senate. And I really don't understand that one. Americans are crazy. But anyway, once again, peace be upon those folks who lost their lives today. It's It's a damn shame that you can't go out and enjoy yourself. You know, that's the type of stuff that happens. And yeah, reality TV from the White House. Shout out to my nephew, reality TV from the White House. Exactly. That's what it is. The Apprentice in the White House. And I guess that Jeff Sessions was a contestant. I see. And the thing about Trump, you know, is he just chews up and spits out. I mean, Jeff Sessions put his ass on the line when Trump first came out to run in 2015. Jeff Sessions was the first legitimate person to support Trump. And he went around with Trump to the rallies, and he supported Trump. And he kind of legitimized Trump's campaign. Because up until that point that Jeff Sessions joined the party, people kind of stayed away from Trump. They were like, oh, boy, you know, I hope he doesn't run. You know, all the other 17 candidates thought he was an a-hole. So nobody really, you know, people kind of sat back and waited to see if he was going to take traction, which is what they do. But Jeff Sessions stuck his neck out. He put his reputation on the line, and he helped Trump get elected. He really did, because once Jeff Sessions got on board, then other people slowly started, you know, it's like you go to a party and nobody's dancing, and then one person gets out there, and then somebody else goes, and one couple to give the other couple, or one person to give the other person courage, or you're a skating rink and nobody wants to skate, you're scared you're going to fall. One person goes out there and falls, and you go out there and you gain your courage from other people. Well, other people gain their courage from Jeff Sessions. They gain their courage from Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions, like anybody else who Trump meets, he uses and destroys and spits them out. And that's what he did. I feel a little bad for Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions should have stayed, you know, he's probably thinking right now, man, you know, I should have stayed a senator. Yeah, and yeah, Jeff, you're right. You should have. Because Trump uses and spits out everybody, even his own kids. You know, and he's going to throw them under the bus. As Mueller gets closer, he's going to throw them under the bus too. The kids fit under the bus too. Don Jr., Eric, Ivanka, Jared Kushner, all fit under the bus. Trump will put everybody under the bus before he goes under the bus. So I'm looking forward to even though it's going to be detrimental to America, I'm looking forward to the fireworks display is going to take place after January 1st when the Democrats take over the House of Representatives and Trump's ass is on fire right now. Shout out to the folks locally. I don't even know who won in Passaic County. I have no idea. I didn't even look to see who won. I know it was a sister that was running for clerk. I know the Republicans and the Democrats were running. Pascrell, I'm pretty sure, won. This is the local 7th district, 6th district, I think, for the folks who listen to the show in other states. So I'm referring to Passaic County. I don't even know who won. I have no idea. I don't know who the clerk is. I have no idea. I just wasn't interested. Yeah, I just know that I know that Menendez won. Menendez stood up to a challenge from Bob Hugin. Menendez, who was almost went to jail, close with no cigar, won re-election, and a bunch of other people won. A lot of Democrats replaced Republicans. I don't know about the ones in this area, but I know they did. So anyway, you know, it's a mad, 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 mad world out there, like the old TV show. And well, he has to. Shout out to my nephew, Charles Turner III. Yeah, it says that Trump is kissing Pelosi's butt. Yeah, he has to. He has to. You know, the enemy of my friend isn't always my enemy. You know, so he's got to kiss her butt. Because she's going to be the House Speaker, and he's going to need her. He knows he's going to need her. See, Trump's not stupid. Trump's a very smart guy. He just has no self-awareness, but he's a very smart guy. He's not stupid. So he knows that he's going to need Pelosi. And he talked about Pelosi like a dog when he was on the campaign trail. Now, you know, a day later, oh, she's brilliant, she's smart, she's this. Yeah, you know you got to kiss her ass because you know you're going to need her. You're going to need her. Because it's not just about you anymore, and the and the puppet. You're not just a puppet master controlling the House and the Senate anymore. No. And you know that the Democratic Congress wants your headhunting for you, and you know you need an ally. So Trump's not stupid, nephew. Trump's not stupid. He knows that he needs an ally. That ally, you go to the top. She's the Speaker of the House. She's the third person in line for the presidency. So if Trump and Pence were on Air Force One and they crashed, guess who would be? And I don't hope it crashed. I don't want Secret Service knocking on my door. If that happened, Nancy Pelosi, I believe in the line of succession, Nancy Pelosi would be the president of the United States. So, you got to respect the lady. She's 78 years old. Man, they must spend a lot of money keeping themselves together. She's 78. I think that Maxine Waters is 79. But they are up there. They don't look like no old ladies either. I mean, you can tell that they're old ladies, but they don't, there's nobody's walking with a cane or rolling around in a chair. Anyway, I'm breaking out of here. It's time for me to go. I'm going down to somewhere. Anyway, everybody, take care. Love you all. Thank you to my nephew, Charles, who's watching and listening to the show. Now you told me why it was 90 seconds, right? Who's listening from Ladder, South Carolina. And all the folks who watch, listen, and post on my Facebook page, I'm just going to start shouting out the likes, the people, the new likes. There's a lot of new likes, so I'm going to start shouting those people out next week. Let them know that they are appreciated. Maybe I'll even play that song. All right, I'm bringing out everybody. Thanks so much for joining me this week and every week right here on the Ron Kelly Show. It airs every Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's the Ron Kelly Show.com. Big things are happening. I'll say one word, serious. That's the word of the day, serious. Now, I don't want to talk too much about it. I mean, I've been through this before where things were flashes in the pan. They didn't work out. But we'll see. We'll see. Pray for a brother, because I'm sure praying for myself, and I'm praying for all y'all too. So I'm getting ready to break up out of here. Thank you so much for joining me. And between now and the next time you see me, give somebody a hug. See you next week. Oh, shit.